Part 23, Chapter 3. The small gray man sat watching the strange antics of a terrestrial craft several miles above his orbit. The combined force had learned over a month ago to leave such a craft alone. Half-Captain Roger Dieter Snow, already in disgrace over trying to sneak a kidnap and cut them out of the potential loot, had charged his Volcor-class cruiser, guns blazing, at a ship doing exactly what this one was doing. The strange craft had sidestepped neatly. There reportedly had been a series of clangs against the cruiser's hull. Snowl had pulled up, mystified as to what the clangs betokened. He had sent crewmen out on lines to inspect his hull, and they had been horrified to discover they had about 20 limpet mines on it, held solidly by magnetism to the hull. The terrestrial craft had apparently mined the orbit they used. Snowl had been further embarrassed to discover that the mines did not explode. They had atmosphere pressure fuses, which meant that if he brought the Volcor-class cruiser within 100,000 feet of the planet's surface, the air pressure would explode them there. Every commander had hastily examined his whole ship to see if he had picked any up. They hadn't, but it meant to them that if you chased that terrestrial ship, it threw a cloud of mines in your path. Very unnerving. So they left it alone. The ship had a huge door in the side and a lot of cranes. The small gray man was no miner or military expert, but the ship was obviously collecting space debris. It wasn't using its cranes, so it must have a big magnet inside that door. Apparently, it would spot something on its screen. There were a lot of odd bits in orbit just now as a large, strange comet had entered the system lately, evidently from some other system, and bits of it were floating around and occasionally hitting the meteor shielding of most of these ships. Then the terrestrial would go out and pace the object. Many of them were moving as fast as 19 miles a second, and suddenly dart sideways. The apparent magnets inside that door would collect it. Rather interesting, the small gray man thought. Somewhat like a hummingbird he had once seen, darting about after insects, stopping around a flower, and then zooming off. He needed something to occupy his mind. There was no word yet. Probably wouldn't be for another couple of months. No new courier had come to him, which seemed to mean that the one had not been found elsewhere. These were very troubled times. His indigestion had begun to act up again. About 3 weeks ago, he had gone down to see the old woman. He had run out of peppermint leaves. She had been glad to see him, and so had the dog. She had used the vocoder to start up some trade with the Swedes, and she had sold them some oats and some butter, and she was rolling in money. Look, 6 credits! Enough to buy an acre of ground or another cow! And she had been busy evenings. Cold weather had been coming on, and it must be an awful lot colder up there in the sky. And she had knitted him a nice gray sweater. The small gray man had the sweater on now. It was quite soft and warm. He touched it and felt a little sad. He had told those military men that it was politically inadvisable to try to operate in the Highlands of Scotland, and he thought they had listened. But just a week ago, he had gone down to get some more peppermint, and the old woman was gone. The house was closed up. The dog was gone. The cow was gone. There seemed to be no sign of violence, but then you never knew with these military men. They could be very sneaky and thorough at times. He had dug up a few sprigs of mint from under the snow, but was quite troubled. Anything like sentiment was a foreign thing to him, but he had felt troubled nonetheless. These military men, they were so obsessed with finally smashing up this planet that they were quite restless when asked to wait for his courier. They got such silly ideas. They had noted that every plane and every installation down there now seemed to have a little creature in an orange-yellow robe. They couldn't understand the messages now being sent on the planet's radios. They had tried language machines, and none worked. Then they tried all their coding and scrambling machines, and none worked. All the messages seemed to begin and end with Om Mani Padme Om, like a sort of chant. That place in southern Africa, near the big dam, the one the terrestrials had used to lure in and trap two raiding parties, was being all cleared out, and it gave them their first clue. A pagoda-like structure. Several, in fact, were being erected. They found in some old reference texts that the design was a religious temple. So the military men had agreed that the planet had now experienced a new political upheaval. Some religious zealots had taken over. Religions were very dangerous. They inflamed people. Any sensible government and its military should stamp them out. But they were not concerned with politics and religion just now. They would wait. The small gray man turned his attention from the terrestrial craft to the combined force. It had increased in number now to 13. New arrivals, other races. They had brought the news that there was a 100 million credit prize offered now to the ship or ships that discovered the One. Thus, they were more eager to raid and collect evidence than they were to gut the planet. Half-Captain Rojadeeter Snowell had become quite incensed with this place, obsessed with it, in fact. But his military sense was telling him that he was outnumbered by the rest of the combined force, and he had left a couple of weeks ago to return to his planet and bring up additional war vessels. It would get quite crowded in the orbits. His own captain had asked the small gray man whether he could draw off a bit from the rest. This was going to be an awful mess when these military men found out and could split the prize and then gut the planet. The small gray man had agreed. He returned to idly watching the terrestrial ship. It seemed to be finished now, possibly had a full hold. It was slowly going down into the atmosphere, making its way to the African base.